up, nerds, and welcome back to your weekly movie review podcast. That's right, you are locked in and tuned in to the 3FN Podcast. And of course, as always, we are coming to you from the 8122 Production Studios at Dragon Master Games. This week, we are reviewing the brand new movie, Abigail, for the 3FN Movie Club Review. But before we get there, I am your host, Rich, and the nerds are all here. Firstly, after seeing Abigail, he realized he's been lied to his whole life, and it didn't matter how much garlic he was keeping in his house, because the vampires were still fucking coming. It is Ron!
All I know is I went home and snorted some of that garlic.
and then just like he likes it, the vampires were coming. A little bit here, a little bit there.
There was cum everywhere.
There was cum everywhere. And of course, you just heard him, but he is the nerd that doesn't need an introduction, yet he has the longest introduction in all of podcasting. Ladies and gentlemen, I give to you hashtag Big Natty Cool, hashtag Mad Dog Strong Style, hashtag Challenge Accepted, hashtag Diesel Malenko, because he's the man of 1,004 hashtags. He is the leader of the Minnows Gang and is your favorite podcaster's favorite podcaster. He is the man, the myth, and the legend rolled into one jolly old ginger-bearded feller. This is Diesel.
I see you came here for a little sucky-sucky.
You got to make that joke a whole lot. Did you end up getting a private showing? Or
no, so I did go to the 5 o'clock Thursday showing for Abigail, and it was in the big theater, and when I got there, I was the only one in there. But after I messaged you guys, one couple came in. They went to the handicap seats to start, but then they moved behind. And then another couple showed up. And then for some reason, this one person came in and took B1 all the way up front. Now that like threw me off for the rest of the night.
You were like, this is weird.
Why would someone willingly go to an open theater and choose the second row?
Right. And all the way at the end. Could have been an employee just watching the movie for free.
Because even if I'm an employee, I'm sitting in a better seat. Because you know which seat you can sit in.
Yeah. It was weird. But there was a total of, I think, including me, 6 people there.
Okay. Right on. I mean, I didn't know. We all went in different times. Yeah. I went with Ron's good friend, Jeff. Yeah. We ended up going the same one. And then I just sat next to him, even though my seat was a row behind. Yeah. I didn't give a shit.
No, yeah. Because we went and saw the Henry Cavill movie on Thursday. Tone and I went Friday at 4:30, and there was big theater. A whole row, like 2 rows ahead of us, was like basically filled when we got our tickets. And then there was maybe about 10 other people throughout the movie. So,
yeah, well, listen, I wish more people would have gone to see it. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. But we're going to talk about that more later. Before we dive in real quickly, how's been your week, Ron?
Week's been all right. Can't really complain too much. Not too much really going on. We had, you know, basically they ended up dog sitting for a few days because my friend Katie had to go out of town so I had to keep Sierra for a couple days. So nice. There's a little headache there, not bad headaches, just making sure, because she's not really kennel trained.
Yeah,
so just to make sure somebody was watching her pretty much more or less than anything, so kind of finding a babysitter.
Yep.
And so, you know, dog sittered while I'm dog sitting, which is fine. It was fine. We just went on walks and all that stuff. Our Wednesday group is just slowly working through the first trial box campaign that nobody's ever done.
Cool.
Like whatever it is. And like I said, I'm just walking around. We got into the encounter at the end of this week, and it was all like 5 or 6 bugbears and ogres or something.
Easy peasy.
It was all, we found a scroll fireball, so I'm just like, all right, waiting for them to line up. They line up, all right, fireball.
Nice.
level 3. Sorcerer just casting fireball. I can't cast fireball yet because I found a scroll. So, you know, things like that.
Gotcha. Diesel, how's been your week?
It was pretty good. Been slow at my one job, so been taking off like half days here and there. Finally got to play some Legacy this weekend. Nice. I did not do good, but I finally got to get some reps in with my Reanimator deck, so that was fun.
Oh, I love Reanimator.
Definitely could have used some more experience before going into this 2K, but, you know, definitely made some questionable lines where I probably could have won both the matches I played, but I punted, and then I learned from it. But
it's Reanimator.
Besides that, Sunday I had a family day, went to visit my dad because they're getting ready to go on a cruise this week, so last chance to see them before they're off. That's about it.
Nice.
Yeah, the sickness came to my house. I did not get sick, thankfully, knock on wood. Sickness. Knocking right there, but my wife was out of it all weekend, so it kind of freed me up to... I mean, I did some housework, but on top of that, I kind of got some resting and relaxation in. Sorry. Can't even speak now. Then it was the dog's birthday this past week, so we got together and watched TNA Wrestling on Saturday.
Happy birthday, dog.
Yeah, and then Sunday we watched AEW, and of course you can hear all about that on Nerd Initiative's Wrestling Night Live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Nerd Initiative YouTube channel. Just throwing that plug out there real quick. And we already did like a pre-show and post-show for AEW Dynasty. So there's that, and yeah, others outside of that, I went up to the Wego Donut and Brew place and got me some donuts. They were tasty. I'm gonna be going back up there. I mean, it's gonna wreck a fucking diet, but it's gonna be great. And
I haven't been there yet, but I've had their stuff because people brought it into work. Super tasty.
We'll have to go on a journey because they're open, so me and you can go up and go on a journey. It's fun times. I gotta gamble, so depending upon the day is what they have for donuts. They all are fancy, but they rotate them every day. There's nothing that stays on the menu. So it's always a gamble, but it was good. I'm not going to lie. So there's that. And hopefully everybody out there listening to us right now, hopefully you guys had a great week. Hopefully you have a great upcoming week. And you know what? Let's get some business out of the way so we can jump into the fun parts of this show, including kicking it off with Diesel's movie triple stuff. Let's talk about how you can get a hold of us. And it's simple. For any information you need about the 3FN Podcast, go to 3FNpodcast.com. There you'll find all of our social media links. You'll find the TeePublic store. You'll find the Patreon link, patreon.com/3FNpodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you get a ton of extra bonus content, including the uncooked edition. And if you're listening to that during this break, I'm going to talk about part of the adventure I had on this weekend where I was a brave little toaster. It's not going to hit the airwaves except for the patrons. And you get a lot of stuff like that, plus bonus episodes and so much more. So check that out if you would like to support everything we do around here. Also, on top of all of that, visit friends of the show like the ODPH podcast. Check those guys out. Nerdinitiative.com, your home of pop culture positivity. And then the musical director, the bands that let us use their music so we don't get hit with those dreaded DMCAs. Big shout outs to our good friends Shout at the Robots, whose song Fail Better is the theme song you hear each and every week at the beginning of the show. Check them out and all of the other great bands on Spotify, YouTube Music, and Bandcamp. And last but certainly not least, there's the sponsor section. Those are the fine folks who allow us to bring this show to you without commercials in it. Big shout outs to Rex to Rod's Auto Detailing. Also, shout outs to W Energy, W.GG. And then last but certainly not least, our good friends at Sci-Fi Horror Fest, and then the main sponsor. They provide us with the 8122 Production Studios. That's Dragon Master Games for all your Magic the Gathering and gaming needs. Visit them on the World Wide Web, DragonMasterGames.com. I should put music behind that again. I liked it a lot better. I can vibe with it more. But I was trying to shorten it down, but I still got to get it in there, folks. That's the gift and the curse. Listen,
we just put a little bit in there. We don't stop like everybody else halfway through a freaking 10-minute podcast. There's 27 commercials.
Yes, at least you don't have to deal with those. So with that being said, though, let's kick off the show. Let's get to the fun part because it's the fun part for us, too. And we're going to enter right on into...
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome to Diesel's movie, Triple Stuff. Kind of a slow box office this week. Coming in at number 5 for you anime fans, Spy X Family Code White comes in at number 5 with $4.9 million.
Surprised it didn't make more money. That's a huge anime for people.
Debuting at the number 4 spot, the new Guy Ritchie film, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, with $9
million. Ron, you went to see it. Your recommendation, spoiler-free.
Spoiler-free recommendation. I give it a thumbs up. It's a fun watch. If you like Inglourious Basterds, it's kind of in that vein, but it's more based on a... loosely based, but more based on a true event type of deal. But it was fun to watch. I enjoyed it.
Sweet, sweet. Diesel, what's next?
Coming in at number 3 for its 4th week, we have Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, with another $9.5 million.
Surprised that's still holding on.
Yeah.
Because we're getting close to that being on a streamer.
Oh, yeah. Debuting at the number 2 spot, the movie we'll be talking about later, Abigail, pulls in $10 million domestic.
Yeah. I wish it would have opened for more. We'll talk about that when we get to the review.
And then staying at the number 1 spot for the 2nd week, Civil War pulls in another $11 million.
Not surprised at all.
Yep.
I mean, that movie got a lot of big hype.
Yeah.
Deservedly so. Listen to our review from last week, and you'll find out that none of us were technically super against it. So,
yeah.
Therefore, I can understand completely. Diesel, that's the box office right now. What's coming to the box office these upcoming weeks?
All right. Coming out on April 26th, we have the action thriller Breathe, starring Jennifer Hudson.
Ah.
Boy Kills World, starring Bill Skarsgård.
Throwing it out there. Boy Kills World is next week's 3FN movie review. So there you go. That's going to be it.
And then the big Zendaya vehicle, Challengers, comes out this week.
We really wanted to do that, and I'm not going to lie, but then I was like, I don't know how we get out of that without getting in some serious trouble. Just throwing it out there. So that's why it's Boy Kills World. Plus, it looks kind of badass. Let's be honest.
And then coming out next week, we have the horror movie Tarot.
Okay.
And then the action comedy The Fall Guy, which I just learned is... there was a TV show back in the day called The Fall Guy.
Yes. And by the way, The Fall Guy will be that week's 3FN Movie Club review, just so you guys know. So that's the next 2 weeks, respectively, Boy Kills World and The Fall Guy. Diesel, now that we've gone through that, it is now time to hit that signature move. It is time to find out what this week's top three is.
All right. This week is your top three breakout child actor performances. So their first major role. They knocked it out of the park.
Yes, and we did add something in for the sticklers at home, and this is what you can play by. It is not counting TV. It is not counting commercials. It's not counting made-for-TV movies. Major motion pictures. Yep. Mind you, I mean, I say major, it still could have been a lower budgeted, but it's still major motion pictures, folks. So here is my list, and I did this in exact order. Sometimes it's not exact, you know. My number three, Joseph Gordon-Levitt for Angels in the Outfield.
Solid one. He was great in that movie. Underrated movie.
Yes, very underrated. By the way, every one of mine have three names. I think that's what tripped me up there. Because at my number two spot, Chloe Grace Moretz,
yep.
Kick-Ass.
Yep.
And at my number one spot, Haley Joel Osment, yep. The Sixth Sense. So every one of them had three names. That's just a coincidence. But I think all those roles were great. And knowing that they were all children, those were their first major roles. Amazing. Yep. Ron, what's your top three?
I know I hated on it for a year, but we're putting these two together, Rupert Grant and Emma Watson. Harry Potter series.
If you had any balls, all of your top three would be from the Harry Potter series.
You just got all three of them.
Well, the Daniel Radcliffe had something else. Yeah. But I put them together. Number two, I'm putting Ethan Hawke in Explorers because when I was a kid, I loved that movie.
Yep.
I know it's probably not a good movie, and that probably doesn't hold up, but I remember watching that movie repeatedly.
I'm sure Angels in the Outfield doesn't hold up, but I put it on mine.
And so, Ethan Hawke went on to have a hell of a career. Yeah.
And then number one, and going with Natalie Portman in The Professional.
Oh, nice.
Like, I love that movie.
Yep.
Good old Leon the Professional, by the way, celebrating its 30th year anniversary this year.
Yeah,
it's 1994.
Care. For me, that's a five every day because I watch it every
Diesel, what do you got?
Coming in at number three from the movie Angus, Charlie Talbert.
Yeah, we talked about that. We did that review for the patrons. Yep.
So I thought he was great in it and
didn't really do much after.
Didn't do much, but I actually, when I went through his IMDb recently, he's actually been in some pretty major movies recently.
Yeah. He
has smaller roles, but yeah. Coming in at number two, we're going up with your number one, Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense.
Awesome movie.
Great. And then number one, and she's becoming one of my favorite newer actresses. Like, I love her in everything I've seen her in recently. That's from True Grit, Haley Steinfeld.
Oh, yeah. That's that. Hey, I forgot that she was
in it. I used the caveat that I had to have seen the movie. I didn't actually see True Grit. I know it's good. I just haven't seen it.
Great. True Grit was really good.
Yep. Great movie. A great remake, technically.
Yes.
But great movie. Well, with that being said, those were great lists, guys. If you would like to send us your list, hit us up on those social medias. You can find them at 3FNpodcast.com. But now, you know, when we exit Diesel's movie triple stuff, we jump right on into...
Welcome to
3FN Movie Club.
Refreshments are available in the lobby. And please, keep our theater clean by disposing of trash in specified containers. And remember, gift certificates are available for any special occasion. Enjoy the show.
And that's right, it is now time for this week's 3FN Movie Club review. And as I said in the beginning of the show, it is the brand new Radio Silence movie. That's right, Abigail. And if this is your first time listening to the 3FN podcast, thank you for giving us a chance. But even if it's not your first time and you need a reminder of how we do things when we review new movies, we're going to hook you up with that. So when we do new movies, we do a spoiler-free and a spoiler-full section. And they are divided by an actual break in between to make it easier for you to just stop and then come back. But we do give you a final warning, which we'll talk about in a second. But what you can expect from the spoiler-free, Diesel will give you the spoiler-free synopsis, followed by me giving you the stats, including who made the movie and who starred in it. And then we will give a spoiler-free thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down recommendation. That's when we'll take the break. When we come back from the break, we give you one final warning before jumping into the full spoiler review, and then finding out the scores from around the internet by playing the game, and finally giving our scores for the movie. So, with all of that being said, are you gentlemen ready to talk about Abigail?
Oh, yeah.
Diesel, I believe...
Man, I got a story to tell!
A ragtag group of crime professionals must kidnap a young girl. Once they realize her dark secret, they must survive the night.
Surviving the game, surviving the night. I like it no matter how you say it. Abigail was released this past week, April 19th of 2024, with a runtime of 109 minutes. By the way, second movie in a row, second new movie in a row, 109-minute runtime. Just throwing that out there. $28 million was the estimated budget for the film. And as you heard Diesel earlier, the domestic box office for this movie was $10.2 million. And its worldwide box office, $15.2 million. So a little more and it'll get its money back, and hopefully it does. Now that we've gone over those stats, it's time to find out
who made this scene.
And of course, this, I already mentioned, it's a Radio Silence movie. So the directors of this film are the men who brought you Radio Silence, Matt Bettinelli Alpin and Tyler Gillette. Their first movie as Radio Silence, VHS in 2012, as the directing role, so I should say. Ready or Not, Scream 2022, Scream 6, and then this movie on the docket. So some pretty big hitters there for them. Very successful writing duo and directing duo, although they did not write this movie. This movie was written by two people. I believe the way this is going to work is that this person wrote the original script, and then the guy who is part of Radio Silence redid some of it. So Stephen Shields was one of the people, one of the writers. The Hole in the Ground in 2019, and then a movie called Hunted was another project that he wrote. The man who is a guy who pens a lot of the movies, as you'll see in a minute, for Radio Silence, Guy Busick, is the one who wrote that. Urge in 2016, and then, of course, Ready or Not, Scream 2022, Scream 6, and this. So ever since his first movie, he's other than that, he's been pretty much in the fold with Radio Silence.
Nice.
Next up, director of photography, Aaron Morton. First movie Aaron Morton was the DP for, Nemesis Game in 2003. Evil Dead 2013,
okay. Nice.
And then to much to Ron's chagrin, The First Omen.
And he didn't do bad in that. It's just the movie itself was bad.
And he had a bunch of other stuff. I've been trying to just stick with the big ones, and that's going to kick me in the balls because I couldn't even just stick with the big ones with the composer and still get it shortened. So this is kind of long. The composer of this film, Brian Tyler, first movie, Bartender in 1997. Mind you, this guy's got like 200, like easy. But Bubba Hotep.
Nice.
Yep.
Vampires Los Muertos. The Hunted. Rambo, the 2008 version. The Expendables franchise for the first three. He did not do four.
Thank God.
The Fast and the Furious franchise ever since Tokyo Drift. So everything past Tokyo Drift, Tokyo
all the good Drift ones,
has been done by this gentleman. Iron Man 3.
Okay.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that was directed by Michael Bay.
Okay.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Okay.
Ready or Not, Scream 2022, Scream 6, and the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Nice.
Okay, so there's a bunch of movies in there that I don't like, but you can't blame the composer. So he's also, of the movies that he's done that I don't like, I can't say anything bad about the composition of it. So, good on him. He is a heavy hitter studio composer, apparently.
Yes. And that is going to bring us, after we find out who made the movies, it's time to find out who starred in it.
For the love of God, will someone please punch me in the face so I can see some scars?
First up, playing Joey would be Melissa Barrera. Of course, we know her as playing Sam Carpenter in the Scream movie, Scream 2022 and Scream 6. And she was also in The Heights.
Okay.
So she's done quite a bit of stuff and a lot of telenovelas and a bunch of other stuff. Melissa Barrera, I think, has a bright future.
Yeah.
Next up, playing Frank, is Don Stevens. You probably remember Don Stevens from Downton Abbey, The Guest, and he was the Beast, the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Next up on the list, playing the, would you say villain? Maybe we'll say villain. Abigail. This was Alicia Weir, and Alicia Weir is most known, young career by the way, for playing the Netflix Matilda, the musical.
Okay.
She was Matilda. She was also in Wicked Little Letters and Don't Leave Home, amongst other things. Once again, very young, very good performance, so I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot more of her going forward. Playing the role of Rickles was William Cartlett. William, you might know him from Constellation, 1001, and he was Verton Freeman in Lovecraft Country.
Okay.
Next up, playing Sammy, Catherine Newton. And of course, we know Catherine Newton as Cassie Lang from Ant-Man and the Wasp. She was also Millie in Freaky.
Yep.
Yeah, so she's the... she was the good teenage girl that becomes the serial killer in Freaky. If you've never seen Freaky, you should check it out. She also was Lucy Stevens in Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, if you will, in Big Little Lies as well. But yeah, Catherine Newton probably, it's kind of weird that she was so undersold in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially considering who she is. Playing Peter was Kevin Durand, and you got to love him. He played Fred Dukes in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yep.
I Am Number Four. He was in Robin Hood as Little John. That was the Russell Crowe Robin Hood, by the way. And Wild Hogs as Red, if you're keeping count. Angus Cloud played Dean, and I know this is probably one of the favorite characters of Diesel for some reason. He was in Your Lucky Day. Euphoria, of course, is where most people would know him from, and Freaky Tales. And then we get to a man, let's be honest, that we all love. And that would be one Giancarlo Esposito, or Giancarlo Esposito, depending upon where you're from. He plays Lambert, and you know this man from Breaking Bad, because he was Gus. You also know him from The Usual Suspects. He was the voice of Akilah in The Jungle Book. He was in Do the Right Thing. And ladies and gentlemen, he is even in The Mandalorian as Moff Gideon.
So good.
Is there anything he doesn't do? By the way, Baxter Stockman in Mutant Mayhem.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, we love us some Giancarlo Esposito here on the 3FN show. And since this is the end of the casting and we go so quickly through them, there's only one other person listed, and that would be Matthew Good playing the father. You might know him from Stoker, which is kind of funny in lessons. And then The Imitation Game, Watchmen, where he played Adrian Vitt, and Chasing Liberty. So
I forgot who was in Watchmen.
Matthew Good's been in quite a few things, definitely things of note. And very small role in this, I will say that, but still impactful at the end of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for us to give our spoiler-free thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down recommendation. We're going to start with you, Ron. What are you giving Abigail?
I'm giving a thumbs up on this all day. Like, this is a fun watch. It's Diesel made it through, so it's not that horror. Like, it's vampire horror, and it's fine. Like, it's a fun watch. If you liked Ready or Not, it's got kind of a similar feel. Obviously, the studio did the same thing, so it's a fun watch.
Diesel, what is your spoiler-free recommendation?
I also recommend it. I would give it a thumbs up. I had a good time watching it. Vampire horror is one of the few things I can get through horror-wise, and this one kept me entertained. It's got a good pacing. It's not too long, and the cast was really good, and I enjoyed it.
I'm going to also give it a thumbs up, and I'm going to say something, and I'm not saying that this movie, because we're obviously here, I'm not saying it's as good as Ready or Not, but I will just say this. If instead of doing a sequel to Ready or Not, which I think they should never do, Radio Silence every so often, every few years, makes a movie where it's a dark comedy with a lot of gore in it and just like things that are funny because of how ridiculous they are in a lot of senses, I'm on board.
Yep.
Because what they did in Ready or Not, if then this isn't a spoiler, you can transfer it right over to Abigail.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they copied Ready or Not. It's definitely different. However,
it's got that same
That same tone. It's ultra gory. But it's not gory in a way that's going to make you disgusted or disturbed. There is a few scenes, obviously. But on top of that, it's something that's so ridiculous, it's part of the humor of the movie. And then the movie itself, just you have comedy and you have cool deaths. Like, they've melded the world of horror and comedy just perfectly. Yep. They did it with Ready or Not.
Yeah.
And I'll say it up front. I think Ready or Not's the better of the two movies. But then again, I'm a huge Ready or Not fan. That being said, I still gave this a thumbs up. So you'll have to see what score it gets at the end. But you're going to have to wait for that, because that'll come in the second half of the show when we jump into the full spoiler review of Abigail.
Hey, this is Ken M.
Padawan J.
Coach Duffy.
From the Ocho Duro Parlay Hour podcast, and you're listening to the Three Fat Nerds podcast.
You're falling apart, and you know it.
and try to hide it, but you show it. I need you to know I felt it too, and I'm still trying to figure it out, just like you, just like you.
And we're back for the second half of the show. And before we go any further and give you the full spoiler review of Abigail, I would like to give you one final warning. If you have not seen Abigail and do not want the movie spoiled, this is where you stop the podcast. Go see the movie, come back, and then listen to what we have to say. However, if you have seen the movie or just don't care and you don't want it if it's spoiled, stay in, because it's time to jump into the full spoiler zone right about... Now, of course, we don't go scene by scene through the movie. We just kind of do like an overview skeletal thing, talking about some things we like and dislike throughout the movie. And then we do likes, dislikes before playing the game and finding out the scores from around the internet and finally giving our scores. So, gentlemen, are you ready to talk about Abigail?
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler full. All right. So, you know what? This movie was interesting to me. You could see where the premise from Ready or Not, I'm not saying that they copied the movie, but that's why my first thing was like, hey, if they do a sequel, but not a real sequel, just something in this vein every so often, I'm fucking on board.
Yeah.
Because basically this movie opens up and we get, you know, we kind of know from the trailers that there's going to be a vampire ballerina, you know, they gave that part away, which kind of sucks because the way they opened the movie would have been better with the fact that we get the little girl dancing. And in the meantime, we're starting to see some cursory, shady characters, yep, if you will. And they're all lining up to get their stuff, you know, done. Whether, you know, one car comes and picks up, you know, Joey. Well, they don't give real names. We find that out later. Yeah. But one car comes and picks up Joey. And then we have Dean and, Sammy in another car because she's the hacker girl and he's her driver. And he's kind of annoying, let's be honest. And they had the sniper with him, which is Rickles. And Rickles goes to keep an eye because they're at the actual property. And what we find out is basically they're kidnapping somebody. And at the time, they don't know. With the exception of one person, they don't know, which is Frank, they don't know who they're kidnapping.
Yeah.
So, next thing you know, they go to this house, the vehicle pulls in, you know, the first team's already in because of that, and the team that's in is Joey, Frank, and then Peter. Poor Peter. Diesel, what makes our friend Peter so special?
Peter's kind of a dullard, but he's kind of the heart of the movie in my eyes.
He is.
But he is not the most intelligent man, but he is the muscle, and he does what he needs to do.
Yes, exactly. And so they go in, and they go into the room where they're at, and they figure out after this young girl walks in that they're going to be kidnapping a child. Yep. And so they drug the child, they kidnap her, they put her in a duffel bag. I thought that was funny. Yeah. And they carry her out, and as the father or whoever is coming home, and they get the fuck out of there, and they go to this fucking really crazy looking like mansion. It's kind of like the highway zone where they meet Lambert, and Lambert basically is the guy who's orchestrated the whole thing and said, hey, all you gotta do now is sit on the girl for 24 hours, we'll get the ransom money, boom, we're all gone, $50 million, beautiful shit, right? Just make sure that you follow the rules, only one of you talks to her, so she hears only one voice, and that would be Joey. And then, you know, everybody else, just stay alert, just in case somebody's on to you. So now we're into this part of the movie, and this part does bog down. I will say this. The whole setup parts, and, you know, we get the only parts that are really important are the moments between Joey and Abigail, which we find out that's her name. And then the only other fun part is that part where basically Joey tells everybody who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's not by name, but she's pretty spot on about, you know, like Sammy, you're from a rich family. You're only doing this for kicks. She's good. You know, about Frank, you're a crook. You know, you were a cop.
And probably by that air, you were a detective. You weren't just a beat cop. Yeah. You were a detective.
Yeah,
and she was just observant enough to where she could, like, pick up tells on people and, like, recognize that Rickles was military.
Remember, Rickles doesn't give her money, so she's like, all right, it's because you're not giving me any money, Semper Fi is all I'll give you. So he's like, he just nods his head. You know, he knows. He's good. So they go through these things, and nothing really too interesting happens until everybody's kind of settling in. Because, mind you, this house has got food. It's got alcohol. Probably some drugs. Dean is trying to fuck everybody. Yep. It's not working out too much. Did you get strong Pretty Fly for a White Guy vibes from him?
Once we get through this, I'll tell you my theory, because this movie reminded me of a lot of another movie.
Okay.
And he reminded me a lot about another specific character.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So our first thing is he's been, you know, enjoying a little bit of the devil's lettuce.
Yep.
And some drinks. And he goes to look for some in the fridge, and he hears something out in this, like, I don't know how to explain it, except for like a kind of like a root basement almost kind of deal. A greenhouse, like attached to the house, something.
Yeah.
So he goes out there, and it's a rat scares the shit out of him. But then, next thing you know, he's making some weird noises, which gets the attention of Sammy, who comes downstairs. And she's like, "You better not be fucking with me," because earlier she gave her a scare. And she goes past the kitchen. She goes out there. She's like, "Nope, not doing it." She turns around and sees him sitting in the chair, and she's just like, "Jesus, are you okay?" And touches him, and his head falls off.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit. So now, you know, we know things are on and popping. And it is not too much further. Now we get some distrust in there. Like, wait a minute. Whose kid is it? You know, we find out that it's this crime boss that's fucking known for killing people. And he's got a person named Valdez, who is like an animal and rips people to shreds for him. And they're all scared for their lives. And Diesel is not burying the lead. What do we find out in very short order?
So this group of crime professionals, if you will, that have never worked together, they were all chosen for a specific reason. They've all done something against this crime family, cost them money somehow, or did something in some effect, and now they're going to have to pay.
Yep.
And Valdez, who does Valdez end up being?
Valdez was the Abigail's father.
No. Valdez is Abigail.
Is Abigail.
So what you find out is this myth, this ghost Valdez, is this little girl. And the reason why is because, once again, we already saw in the commercials, she is a fucking vampire. So basically, we find out there was an incident once where there were some people that were going to turn state's evidence, and they were holed up only one way in, one way out, and Valdez came in and murdered, I think it was like 15 guards plus the three people, and their body parts were strewn, and they were missing body parts. Well, the reason why is because Valdez isn't a person, and he's not a savage of a killer. It's this little girl who's a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
And she then breaks down at one point in the juncture. She breaks down, and I couldn't catch all their real names, unfortunately, but like she starts breaking down who they are.
Yeah.
Because they capture her at one point in this like old gated fucking elevator shaft. And she's basically like, "Oh, you don't think that I'm, you know? Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You were a cop. You were a fucking crooked cop. But you, because of you, those people were testifying. So we had to kill three of our best lieutenants because of you. That's why you're fucking here." Yeah. And then like it goes right down the list to everybody on
Sammy
the list.
Sammy hacked the wrong accounts and took money from them.
Everybody had
Joey was an addict.
Joey was a doctor, and like she didn't save somebody that needed to be saved.
She was near and dear.
She was high on heroin.
She was high on something.
Morphine and nicked an artery and killed.
So everyone was chosen for a reason. Very the usual suspects.
Yes, very, very good. It was very much so. I agree with you there. And then it was kind of cool because Joey, we found out, she don't take no shit, so she kind of throws something right back at Abigail. She's like, "You know, no matter how many people you kill, your father's still not going to love you."
Yeah.
Like you've realized this, right? Like he doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
And like so there's like this tension, and it's like, and you know, truth hurts sometimes.
Oh, well, and earlier she made the pricky promise that she wouldn't let anybody hurt her.
Yes. So we get some, we're going to go back for all the entertaining things that happen because like there's like in the beginning you have like the decapitation look cool after the fact, but you don't see that. Rickles meets his demise before they even know this girl is a fucking vampire because she gets his throat and then she gets out of the cuffs and we realize she's a vampire.
Which was pretty cool because like they go to check on her and she's still in her bed. She's still cuffed.
And then they're arguing with each other.
Once they start arguing, she just like breaks her wrist to get out of the cuffs and then back to normal and just like, everyone's like arguing. They're like, are you seeing this?
And then when she lifts her head, the fucking teeth are there.
Which theoretically, since she had already killed the others, she had already done it once where she could have just not done the handcuffs.
Yeah, but
so
she did back.
Well, no, she went back to
her hand. Right, no, but what I'm saying is she couldn't, because you could just loop them through again, so you didn't have to do it so tight.
Well, we didn't know how she did that.
Just saying.
So anyways.
She's a vampire.
It ends up getting in, after she gets out of the little, the cage, if you will. Basically, the whole time she's trying to have people ask her out, but then she just blows the door off the fucking thing. Yeah. It didn't matter.
She makes them a deal. The first one to let her out of the elevator cage, she'll let live. But nobody takes her up on the offer, and then as Frank's talking shit to her, she just blasts through the door. She's like, all right, fuck you.
At one point in Juncture, there is a funny scene before they trap her, where basically what ends up happening is Joey's like, I don't want any part of this. Like, you guys have no plan. You don't know what you're dealing with. And so the rest, Peter, Sammy, and Frank, because they're the ones left, all arm up with some fucking pool cues that they turned into homemade steaks.
Garlic.
Sammy's got the garlic. Although the first part, when she comes back with the onions, those aren't fucking, that's not fucking garlic. It's onions. It's onions. You're stupid.
That was pretty funny.
And then of course,
Peter's got the cross.
His cross is on his neck. So when they go to attack to get this little girl, she just fucks with all of them.
Uses their weapons against them.
Right before she bites Sammy, because Sammy does get bit on the arm, she smells the garlic and she's just like, and just throws it to the side. And then fucking, they can't get the stakes at her because she just moves too quick. But then my favorite part is Peter. She grabs the cross from him and just stabs him with this little fucking cross.
Pinpoint pricks all over his chest. Yeah.
It's not enough to kill you, but it's fucking going to hurt because it's not going to go that deep. It's just a necklace cross. You know what I mean? It was just fucking hilarious.
Frank gets stabbed in the leg with his own stake. Yeah,
yeah. And they all kind of have to come back to Joey. She's like, see what I mean?
And Joey has the idea like, all right, flush her towards me because we know that the drugs that we pumped her in during the kidnapping actually worked. I checked her vitals. She was out. So their goal is to inject her again and put her to sleep.
But would she have vitals being a vampire?
Don't try to look for logic. We're in an unknown vampire lore movie. You just go with it.
Yeah, because the only thing that they kept from vampire lore, we'll get in a minute. Well, the stake through the heart, I guess, too. But there's only two things from vampire lore. The stake through the heart and the sun.
Yeah.
That's all that we keep. Because at one point in Juncture, after she gets free, they find themselves, the way that they get out of the basement situation when she does get free, is it is daylight by this time, and Joey notices there's some light coming through in the basement. She breaks out the fucking wood things, and then light comes in, so she gets it blows her hand off.
Yeah,
since she regenerates her hand. But they find a room where there's this big fucking window. They go, "I just stay in the fucking sun, you know." Well, what happens when the sun goes down? Shit!
Yeah, it moves across the room.
So in the meantime, because this is a different world, she had bit Sammy, and like, so when they find that window, Sammy's like nervous that she's going to touch the fucking sun and die. But she doesn't.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, I'm not a vampire, even though I got bit. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
However, they take a new term for the ghoul. What ends up happening with Sammy,
Ron? As she starts, they go, her and Frank, not Frank,
Frank,
Peter.
Frank and Joey and Peter and her go looking for the girl.
Go looking for the girl. And while they're looking for the girl, Sammy turns into a vampire, but she's controlled by Abigail.
She's an avatar.
Yeah.
Basically, she's a puppet. So there's an interesting take on the ghoul for the vampire. So basically, we hear Abigail put on a record, and now she's controlling her body and all the movements.
Was a great scene.
And she kills Peter. And then she's trying to con the other ones that she's fine. Although between them, actually, it's a really fun scene. Her dance scene, because the steam that was coming off her because of the sun.
The sun. So she's getting hit by a little bit of sunlight, so she's getting, and she's in the middle of it all and just a little steam coming off of her, but she's being controlled. So,
and she almost gets Frank and Joey, but they end up using a platter to reflect some of the sunlight and blow her up.
Yeah.
Much like the end scene from Blade when Steven Dorff becomes the blood god. Very explosive blood explosions.
Yes.
Yes. That is something they brought back from Ready or Not, by the way.
Okay.
So that was pretty awesome. So now we're down to Frank and Joey, and Frank's a piece of shit. And more room for Joey, because even though she was a junkie, she has a kid. She's got some regrets on the plates. And as they're trying to get out, they find a door opens up as they finally dispatched of Sammy. And this door opens up, and they're like, well, this means certain death, but fuck it. Got no better ideas.
Well, it was funny, because the Abigail told Frank to, you know, a book on the shelf. I forget what the
title was. And then there were none.
Then there was none. And so he's, like, looking for the bookshelf while everybody else is standing in the light. And he's like, ha, I'll see you guys later. And he pulls the book back like it's a secret lever, and there's nothing that happens.
It was a different bookcase, and it was controlled by somebody else, because we see that Lambert's been there the whole time.
Monitoring the whole situation.
And what's interesting about Lambert, Diesel?
Lambert is also a vampire, and Lambert works for this crime family, and Lambert set this whole thing up just to pretty much feed this girl.
Yes, but he's also tired of her shit. And so therefore, he wants to kill her. So his idea is, hey, Frank, we've known each other for a while. I don't give a fuck about Joey. I'm going to kill her off. And he's fucking choking her and fucking whatever. He's like, but if you let me bite you, he's like, I don't want to be a puppet. That's what Frank says. He's like, you won't. You'll be a vampire just like me. And when you turn, the two of us can beat her. So he, you know, bites Frank, and then he spits some of his blood. He bites his wrist. Yeah. So he goes that route. So, which is funny because you would think the motherfucker would remember this because it's going to come up in a second. So Joey is still not dead. And as Lambert goes to, you know, dispatch of horror, poof, Lambert's dead. Because fucking Frank
still hold a grudge and said, fuck you, I'll take care of this myself. Yeah.
So now he's a vampire, and then there's a fight between him and Abigail where he gets the one-upsmanship and actually drains her blood.
Yep.
And we think she's dead. And now Joey's on the run, and at least an emotional scene is she's trapped in that wall, and she calls her son, and leaves a voicemail, and you know Frank's right there, he's going to kill her, but he's got to play with his food first, which was a mistake because that's when Abigail comes back, and we get a fight, and then we get the pinky promise.
Yep, the pinky comes up, and Frank tries to change. Oh, crap.
He tries to change Joey. So basically, he bites Joey, and then he goes,
make her his puppet.
I'm going to make you my puppet, and you're going to do it. And so he's like making her try to kill the girl. And it backfires because Joey tries to stab him, but she doesn't get him. But it gets enough time for Abigail to get this motherfucker. And then they end up killing fucking Frank.
Yep.
And the best part is, like, as they're getting him down, Abigail's just like, you know what? You know what really sucks about being a vampire? It takes you a long time to learn all the cool shit. You didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
So one of my big negatives was there's a lot of plot armor through this movie. Yeah. But immediately with that line of, yeah, it takes years to learn all your ins and outs of these powers.
Cool, she says the cool shit even.
Yeah. So automatically that fixed that for me. So I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, that was actually really cool coverage, by the way. Really cool coverage. But anyways, they end up killing fucking Frank. And then, basically, Abigail's like, it's cool. But then, who comes in? Her dad. And she refers to him by his name was Lorenz.
Yeah.
And he was like, I've been known by many names over the years. So you get the feeling this is Dracula. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. He's like, I've been known by many names over the years. And he's like, fucking, you know, basically going to kill fucking Joey. And then Abigail's like, kind of steps in, and then you can kind of see that he does care about his daughter, if you will, because he lets Joey go because of his daughter.
Yeah,
he even gives her the, you better hurry up and get out of here because it is dinner time.
So she makes it out to the van and just drives off.
Well, she puts the lollipop in first because that's how she deals with her addiction cravings, is sweets, and she ran out of them, but she puts the lollipop in her mouth first, which, by the way, made me think of Ready or Not, Ron, because remember, at the end of Ready or Not, when the place is on fire, she smokes a cigarette, and this, she just sits there covered in blood in the van, and she can just go, but she has to take that second to be like, and then kind of like a little smile to herself after she puts the lollipop in and drives the fuck away, and I'm just like, that was a cool kind of ending, you know? I dug. So now that we've gone through the movie, let's talk about some likes and dislikes. We're going to start with Ron. What were some of your likes from Abigail?
Like I was, Diesel and I were talking in our little chat for a minute before we got to, you know, because you didn't see it yet. And I'm like, Diesel's like, okay, blah, blah. I'm like, I kind of just put them all in like a D&D campaign character setting. Like, I'm like, that's why I was like, I kind of liked it. Like, you know, you go through, Joey is kind of like the paladin character when you, by the end of the movie. Sam is the rogue, obviously. Frank is like a fighter. Peter is the barbarian through this whole thing, which was amazing to me.
I love Peter.
Yeah.
He did not spend any money on his intelligence.
No.
None.
Yeah, Rickles, I put him as the ranger because he was the sharpshooter. Yep. You didn't really see him do it, but whatever. Then you got Dean, I put as the bard because he was trying to sleep with freaking Sam through the whole thing. And that just made it feel like it was like a random D&D campaign, and they had to go kidnap this girl, and come to find out it's a vampire. I mean, there's been multiple little campaign one shots that have been like this. Usually they use a werewolf, but then it's trying to figure it all out, and that's how that's why I enjoyed it a month, because I'm just like, oh, this is like a D&D campaign. And like the over the top vampire kills were fun, but the over top vampire deaths was amazing in this movie. Like all the extra blood, all the explosions. I mean, they keep the basic lore which is good, and they expanded a little bit on some of the lore, so it's their own little world. We need to see where else this goes.
Absolutely. Diesel, some likes for Abigail.
All right, so I alluded to it earlier. This was the vampire version of The Usual Suspects. And my correlation between Dean and Benicio Del Toro's character has the weird way he talks because he was going to be the first one to die, and he made it had to make his role memorable.
Okay.
So I think that's why he was as wacky and aloof as he was. We get the reveal that Kaiser, not so much the Kaiser Soze, but the Valdez is Abigail. We get that reveal. We get the lawyer as Lambert. It was The Usual Suspects done as a vampire movie.
Actually, now that you say that, that's pretty awesome. Like, it makes perfect sense.
A group of criminals that were put together for a reason, and you find out that the reason was they fucked with Kaiser Soze in some way or another without them knowing it. And then we get the reveal. So this was The Usual Suspect, so that's a big plus for me.
Oh, I like that. Now that you said that, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm with Ron. I love the gore in it. It kind of, like, once again, but they made the gore fun. Like, it's over-the-top gore.
Yeah,
like, there is, like viscera in the fucking, in the shit. There's, like, pieces of fucking shit that come out of the blood. It's not just blood, dude, and it's just a lot.
The most disgusting scene out of this whole movie was the pool scene.
Oh, the pool full of bodies.
And that's saying something about how much blood and gore they put through this. It wasn't super gory, but that pool scene was the more disgusting.
Yes,
but it was funny how they did that, because all, you know, when Rickles died, I get flies just show up, but like all of a sudden, like, you didn't see flies anywhere else, and Rickles is done, and then there's just flies over his body, and then you find the pool where there's nothing but flies,
and you're like, yeah, that's where the flies came from.
I'm like, and I get it, it's a fly, they show up in old houses, I get it, but it was just a little tie-in that just connected the thing a little bit better.
So we find out that the house is the killing zone for this girl's feedings.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. They always get groups in, and she drinks what she needs to drink, and then the bodies just go into the pool room.
Yeah.
That's it. So you figure out that this happens on a repeating cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So I like that. I like the humorous part of all the gore. It's like it became an issue. And some of the stuff, like at the one point juncture, she's dancing with Dean's headless body.
Yeah.
Like, but it's funny. And she's like making a touch. Like, and the people are, she knows they're watching her because she's purposely on the stage. This is right before they try to ambush her the first time. And she's like touching her face with his hand. It's like fucking, it's usually it would be weird out of place, but it just plays so funny. Because they're not playing it like, oh, here's the laugh track. But you find it funny because you know it's supposed to be, if that makes sense.
And then some of the shots that they do of, like, her on her killing spree, like, spinning around, and the dresses spinning around, looked amazing. Like,
oh, yeah.
The way that they filmed this was great.
I dug all of that. And like I said, I dug the fact that it had dark tones in it still, and it still had a horror vibe to it, but it is, at the end of the day, an entertaining comedy. And I thought they did a good job. It wasn't as funny as Ready or Not, but once again, it's a separate movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's where but it's still really good. Dislikes, we always have them. Ron, we'll start with you. What were some dislikes for Abigail?
Like I said, the vitals, like, that was the one thing in this, you know, like, would she really have a heart? Would she really have a heartbeat? Would she, you know, would the shot really take her out if she didn't have a bloodstream? Like, so it that's fine. We don't know this universe, vampire lore, so hopefully we get another one to see that. It didn't take me out of it, obviously. I enjoyed all that part. The little downpour where because we already knew she was a vampire from the trailers, which I understand why they did that, because if you just made this movie Abigail and you just showed a ballerina and people kidnapping her, definitely nobody would have gone. Like, and I understand it only made $10 million, but like, that would have been nicer to have the tease.
That's the real surprise.
The real surprise, other than they all work together or all had ties in here and they're all, you know, villain or whatever you want to put them as. And it's just like, I would have liked the reveal being she was, you know, because they tried to play it. Oh, she is the killer of, because they even say Peter, Vela's. And Peter's like, who? What? Oh, okay.
He has to think about it. He's like, huh? How is that possible? Diesel, your dislikes.
All right, so a few of my dislikes was the character development of the Rat Pack, essentially. There really wasn't a lot of character development to where I care about what happened to any of them. The only one I actually cared about was Peter, because he was just funny enough where you're just like, okay. But, like, Joey, I could give a shit about. Like,
yeah.
The fact that she's the sole survivor is like, I kind of would have preferred it if like everybody died in this movie and it's just Abigail and her dad at the end, because I don't think they fleshed out the characters enough to where I was like cared anything about them. Mm-hmm. Besides that, there is definitely a lot of plot armor, but like I said, when she just says the one line of like, it takes years to learn all the cool shit you can do, that fixed a lot of the problems for me, so that takes care of a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then those are my major gripes, was just I just didn't care about any of the main characters.
Yeah, that like you, and you don't know why Rickles is there. They don't give you that history, and you don't get Dean's
history. He doesn't live long enough. Yeah.
Right, which is kind of like you could have taken an extra minute just to been like, well, Rickles was here because of this. Dean was here because of this. You're here because of this, blah, blah. Just to give that little bit of piece of information. But it was, so to me, that was a little lazy, because who knows if they actually had it. They're like, oh, they're going to die. We don't need it.
Yeah.
And, that was a little thing that took them out.
So, yeah, my only big thing is, like, there was a little bit of downtime in the beginning of this movie that made no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Like, because you've already given away, like, the secret, like, even though I like how it still played out for the most part, you could have killed some of that. Like, after the kidnapping, there's just this downtime where we're like, okay, get to it. And then, like, it takes, and then we finally get to, you know, the kills. And you're like, okay, now we're back on track. So it's about a good 15, 20 minutes. And then, so that kind of irritated me. And I know I'm one of those people who says that all the time. But, like, in this movie, like, I think it's because you already know the surprise, those parts didn't really make any goddamn sense. Because we already know the little girl's a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
So then after that, I was very I don't know. There's like some of the things you guys mentioned, I think would be there. There's a little bit of too much like plot armor, but once again, they tried to cover some of it. So good stuff. And once again, it's a ridiculous kind of movie. So
and then they don't really fully explore the vampire lore of this universe. They make a joke. Sammy says, "Well, are we talking Anne Rice vampires?
Yeah.
True Blood vampires? Cool. Twilight vampires?" And they didn't really like give us an answer, which is a positive and a negative all in one, because me and Ron were also talking about, like, I want this to be successful because I would love a prequel to this.
Yeah. So we can know where they come from and whatever. But like the other part of the other joke was, you know, she's a, you know, what do we know about vampires? They're not real.
Yeah.
So they're not real. In this whole world that they're in, there's no, they're just story vampires.
Yeah.
And
nobody knows a vampire is real until it's fucking real and in your face. Just how it would be in probably real life.
Yeah.
I imagine. All right. So now that we've given our likes and dislikes and gone through the movie, it is now finally time for us to find out what the scores from around the internet are. And you know how we like to do that.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
That's right, it's time to play the game. The two gentlemen are going to guess scores from around the internet. The first person to 3 points, so that means closest to the number, you get a point. But the first person to 3 points gets the win for the week. Diesel is on a 4-week win streak, by the way.
He's got the ear.
So it's going to be kind of interesting. Good. Come on, Ron, you can still come back. There's a lot of time. A lot of time. All right, so gentlemen, because Diesel is still reigning and defending champion, Ron, you get to go first. IMDb out of points, out of 10, using points, I should say, sorry. What did they give Abigail?
I don't know where to go with this one. I'm going to go high, 7.6.
7.6. Diesel.
I don't think it's that high. I think it's going to be high, but I think I'll go 7.5. Cut you off underneath.
Yeah, cut you off, so if it's up or above, and Diesel gets the point. It was 7.1 out of 10.
Okay.
All right, Diesel, you get to go next. You're up 1-0. This is Metacritic, so this is, you know, taking all the critic scores together. Out of 100%, what did they give Abigail?
I think this will be relatively high when we're talking Metacritic. I'm going to go an even 50.
An even 50. And, of course, Ron, what do you got?
Up or over?
Yep.
51.
Okay. 51, and Ron gets the point, 63%.
63%. Out of stupid
luck. For Metacritic, it's a pretty good score.
It's a really good score. I just stupid luck that I got it.
Ron, you're up next. It's going to be the Rotten Tomatoes critic score out of 100%. Remember, this is the critic score for Rotten Tomatoes. What did they give Abigail?
67.
Diesel.
66.
67, 66, and Ron gets the point, 85%.
Oh, wow.
85%.
I would never have gone that high.
Wow. So Ron is now up 2-1. If he can get the next point, he wins. But Diesel, you get to go first. This is the Rotten Tomatoes fan score. So the fans of Rotten Tomatoes, out of 100%, what did they give Abigail?
86.
86, and Ron, higher or lower?
I don't think enough fans saw it. It only had 10 million, so we'll gamble at 85.
So, Diesel, you said 86.
Yep.
You said 85, and Diesel gets the block, 88%.
Oh, jeez.
Holy shit.
Damn it.
So, it comes down to the tiebreaker, which is going to be Letterbox. Out of five using points, and Ron, you get to go first. What did they give Abigail?
4.1.
Diesel.
I should go just 4, but I was thinking in my head 3.9. I'm going to stick with
3.9. 3.9, 4.1, you said?
Yes.
All right. So we know there's a winner. So, and your winner, and still champion, Diesel, 3.3 out of 5.
Okay.
It's actually one of the lower ones.
Yep. Yeah. I,
3.3 out of 5.
I'm not used to Letterboxd at all.
Diesel expands out to 5 weeks. The streak moves on. You're like the Undertaker at this point, don't you? All right.
He's got it.
With this being said, it is now finally time for us to give you our scores for the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
And of course, our scores for the movie are going to be on the nerd scale. And the nerd score is a score that is the critic score mixed with entertainment. That means a movie could be critically bad. However, if it's super entertaining, it will get a higher score because the nerd score is a recommendation at the end of the day. The nerd score is on the nerd scale, which has got five parts and five parts alone. A one is no. That means the movie is terrible. You should never see it. A two is you've been warned. That means the movie's not quite terrible, but it ain't good. So you've been warned not to see it. A three is it's good. These are average to good movies. Really what sets them apart is you shouldn't rush to go see them or anything. But if you see it, you're not going to regret it, but you're probably never going to watch it again. A four is just take my money. That means these are the very good to great movies. These are movies where you can go pay for them in the theater, go see them as soon as you can. If you want to add to your collection, you might even want to add into your rotation. They just miss out on the top spot, but they're still very good. And last but certainly not least, it's the rarefied air known as Certified Nerd. These are the creme de la creme. These are the legendary films, Jaws, Jurassic Park, and that kind of ilk belong in that category. So that tells you where we're at. So with that being said, Ron, you'll go first. What is your nerd score for Abigail?
I'm probably the high one out of this one. I'm going 4.
You're going with a 4.
Show me the money!
This, after, you know, listening to everything, I was between a 3 and a 4 with this. I enjoyed this a lot. I know what I said I didn't like about it, but it was still an entertaining movie to me. The, you know, the vampire lore in it made it interesting to me. Peter made the comedy beats in this movie amazing. So to me, this is one of those movies I will watch again. I'd go see it in theaters again. It's worth it to me. Diesel's Usual Suspect is better than my D&D campaign, you know, attack, but that's, you know, like I said, watching it, that's how I felt. And in with both those ideas together, to me, just really solidified this to a 4 for me. I think you need to see it because I would love to see the prequel. I would love to see how Abigail got created, because
how old she
technically is, because she even says it, oh, the library, this is where my father turned me, I don't like this room. And it's like, I want more of that. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see, like, because it's like, we need to know where this is going. We'll probably never get a second, you know, like Abigail in the future, because unfortunately the actress is going to grow older. We know vampires don't grow older. I mean, they can,
but
do
we
it.
Don't know that in this vampire
they could, but you know. But like I said, there's stuff they can do if this makes money. So, but this is definitely going to be in one of my rotations. I understand it's not Ready or Not. I understand Rich is very big on Ready or Not. I enjoyed Ready or Not. This is the same vein to me. Yep. I will watch Ready or Not again. I will watch this again. So this is why it pushes to a 4 for me.
It's the same vein.
Yeah, I get it. Diesel, what's your score?
I'm going to be slightly lower. I'm at a 3.
It's good. It's good.
It's good. Like I said, it was a cool story. It definitely, for me, took a lot from The Usual Suspects. But the problem with it, where I can't go higher than a 3, is I just didn't care about any of the characters. And then when you look at Lambert's motivations to free himself of Abigail, it just makes no sense that he would let everyone in the house get murdered, watching on closed-circuit TV, and then just let Frank down and just be like, hey, we're going to take care of this.
What?
At least, like, turn all of them and then it'd be, like, 6v1.
I think it was more to see who was survivors.
Yeah.
I don't even really care about Lambert's character. Like, he's an amazing actor, and everything he touches is amazing. Never had seen him in anything bad, and he wasn't bad in this. He just wasn't in it long enough.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to see Lambert get sired and what he was doing before this, because he was like 2 years, he said.
Yeah, 2 years.
So it's only been 2 years. So you could do the prequel, then you can do the middle, you know, in there where Lambert gets, you know, sired and all that stuff. But, you know.
But overall, as a vampire movie, it was pretty cool, but it doesn't like hit the major notes for me like some of the classics, like Interview with a Vampire or even 30 Days of Night, which was much more gory and had a really cool ending that was very unique to the genre. This one was just like, all right, cool. It's a cool story, but they just didn't flesh out the characters enough for me.
Well, I will say this. I did compare it, like, Ready or Not, obviously, because it's in the same vein. we'll go with that pun. And listen, I gave Ready or Not a 5. This wasn't quite Ready or Not, so I gave it a 4.
Show me the money!
I could have done with a little more humor in the movie, a little less of the nonsense. If they wouldn't have given away, which, I mean, I guess it was a risk either way, but if they wouldn't have given away the actual fact that she's a fucking vampire, this movie would have probably been higher, because then those parts that I was like, these are useless parts, would have all of a sudden become not useless parts. Yeah, so I guess if I never saw any advertisement at all for this, this movie would have been higher in my estimation. But since I already knew, kind of does lower that a little bit.
Right, if they made it more like a reverse Taken, where, you know, you're taking, you know, you see the criminals kidnap the girl for ransom or whatever, and then, you know, instead of it just being like Liam Neeson just showing up to kick ass.
Yeah,
there's some ways around it, but yeah. With that, I gave it a 7 out of 10 on my critic score. I thought it was a very good movie, shot very well. I liked the score. I like the story overall. Like I said, there's some hiccups as we talked about, but other than that, very good movie. Very, very good movie. So I'm happy with the scores. If you would like to share your score with us, hit us up on the social medias or email us. You can get all that information at 3fnpodcast.com. And Ron, you have some business to attend to.
4 out of 10 stars. Just could not get into this one. The premise is interesting and the thrills are certainly there, but for the most part. But all I saw was overhyped movie that is like many things we see today. A movie with an interesting premise that gets drowned out by needless explosions and countless shootouts. I think this one would be very well served if there were less of these action elements and more of the sci-fi and human drama that could really carry this one. I am not advocating removing all the action elements, but use them less as a numbing by the end of the film, and you are barely care about what is going on. There are certainly great moments, in particular the end of the film, but that is not an action. Rather, it is a sci-fi human drama element I like the most of this. Sadly, these moments are few and far in between as the action dominates the screen and kills the rest. However, the action sequences are well put together and the sci-fi human drama parts are great. So this one is not a total failure, but I thought it would like it a lot more than I did. 4 out of 10 stars. The Terminator just sucks, people.
Keep the sweet angel away from Michael Bay films.
Well, with that being said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the 3FN Podcast. Next week, we will be back with another new movie, Boy Kills World, in the 3FN Movie Club Review. But until then, for myself and for the other guys, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most importantly, later, nerds!
Later.
Frank, Dean, Sammy? Oh, now I get it.
The Terminator just sucks, people.